Conclusion. I began chapter 8 with a simple metaphor, daft as a brush. This odd yet ordinary phrase is a minute instance of the ceaseless creativity in human language. Just one of its endless associations. Such images are at the heart of our language use. They enhance our rhetorical powers and suffuse that strangely occurring mental state we call the imagination, something made as much by the unconscious as the conscious mind. Compared with other kinds of communication, the poem is a free space for rhetoric and imagination. It might be tightly argumentative or loosely associative. It can combine so many aspects of experience, knowledge, and ways of speaking. Some philosophy, a child's bedtime memories, geology and evolution, and a bit of slang or verbal playfulness can coexist here as in no other form. Because its sounds are so important, what we inaccurately but inevitably call the music of its rhythms and meters, so much of the power of this mix does not depend on concepts. Poetry works with ideas, but also within the subjective mystery of our consciousness, with the equalia of the mind when it is operating other than in its consecutive series. Its kinds are sometimes playful and sometimes deal with the words that engage the most serious topics we know. In all its presences, the fascination, pleasure, and impact of poetry in here, in the patterns of the language, where form and content are truly indivisible. O body, sway to music, O brightening glance, how can we know the dancer from the dance? W. B. Yeats, Among School Children.